Welcome this morning, this Friday, day of retreat, and let's open to Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 to 12. It's from the NASB. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while in prison, heard the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. Excuse me. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me." And these men were going away. Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothes are in the king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just pray for a greater revelation of your word. Father, we pray for just your grace this morning. And Father, we just pray that you would just bless and honor the faithful. God, we just ask that you would be here today as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a very, very peculiar passage. A very peculiar passage. John is in prison. He's about to be beheaded. And he asks a weird question. A very weird question. Verse 2. "Now when John, while in prison, heard the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, 'Are you the expected one? Are you the anointed one? Are you the one that we are to expect?'" Meaning of Jesus. "Or shall we look for someone else? Are you the Messiah?" he's asking Jesus. He's saying, "Go tell Jesus, I'm in prison. Go tell Jesus, look, are you the one that we're waiting for? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else?" This is so peculiar because John the Baptist knew the whole time that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the expected one, that Jesus was the anointed one. He knew the whole time. He was there. Remember when Jesus was baptized, John was the one baptizing him. And what happened? The heavens open up and the voice of God comes down and says, "This is my son whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased." A voice comes from heaven. And so there's no question that John knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. So why would he even ask a question like this? This is such a weird question. "Jesus, are you the one?" Like, I'm just trying to get this right. I'm just trying to make sure. Are you the Messiah? Are you the expected? Or is it someone else? And we should wait for someone else. So this is the first weird question. And then the response to John, go and report in verse 4, go report to John what you hear and see. 5, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's incredible, right? The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, that's incredible. And then in verse 6, here's the next peculiar thing that Jesus says. "And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Some translations say, "Blessed is he who doesn't fall away because of me." Now, why would he say that? That is such a weird thing to say, right? He says, look, the blind can see, the lepers are healed, the lame can walk, all of these miraculous things, all of these great things, all of these wonderful things, all of these blessed things, but blessed is he who sees these things and experiences me and knows what I'm all about. And blessed is he who doesn't fall away because of these things. Blessed is he who doesn't take offense because of these things. Why would you take offense at receiving blessing? Why would you take offense at receiving healing? Why would you take offense at that? Why wouldn't you rejoice? Blessed is he who doesn't take offense. Blessed is he who doesn't fall away from me. There's something going on that I think at first glance we're totally missing, right? You understand John is in prison, and so he's about to lose his life. He's about to get his head chopped off. And he's wondering, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? Is someone else coming to rescue? And then Jesus says, look, I am all of these wonderful things. I did all of these wonderful things, but do not fall away. Blessed is he who doesn't fall away. Blessed is he who doesn't take offense. I think what's happening here is Jesus is giving us a greater picture of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. There's a bigger picture than just this comfortable life that we're seeking God from. In order to be a disciple of Christ, there's going to be some sort of persecution. There's going to be some sort of suffering. John was in prison and he's about to lose his life for pledging his allegiance to Christ. There's this phrase, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And as you read the scriptures and as you read this passage and as you study this, that's not necessarily the case. John is about to lose his life because he's professing his allegiance to Christ. And so now the question is, where did we get that idea that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will? In fact, if you look throughout scriptures, those who are in the center of God's will received incredible suffering and received incredible persecution. But I think the church has sort of made Christianity as a religion that has put us in an insulated bubble, that has put us in a place where you don't have to risk anything, you don't have to sacrifice anything, you don't have to suffer anything. The death of Jesus Christ wasn't simply to free us from dying. He died so that he could free us from the fear of dying. Jesus came to liberate us so that we could die up front and then live our life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He died on the cross so that we could die up front to deny ourselves and then we could live our lives. Jesus wants to take us to places where only people who's died to themselves can only go. Maybe the energetic power of the church is lost because we keep inviting people into this safe, comfortable, you know, blessing that you become more materialistic and more materialistic, more self-centered, more egocentric. That the kingdom of God is not about us. It's not about you. And maybe sometimes it means a life of suffering. As a believer, as a Christian, do not be surprised of the suffering that you're going through. Your life may be called to be a life of suffering, but it's a life called into advancing the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says to John, look, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These are all great things, but look, the implication is there's more than just that. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, do not fall away. Do not take offense. I want to jump to verse 11. After all of the description of Matthew chapter 11, after all of the description of who John is, he says, John is the greatest. There's no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And the verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. You look at the life of John the Baptist and Jesus commends him. Jesus honors him. And if Jesus commends John the Baptist today, if John the Baptist lived in this place today, he would have to be admitted to some hospital. He would probably be heavily medicated. Most people thought John was out of his mind, that he was crazy. And if this is what a person is supposed to look like, that is preparing the way for the Lord, man, what is a disciple who comes after him supposed to look like? If John the Baptist is someone that Jesus honors and lifts up and says there's no one greater than he, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, then what is a disciple of Jesus supposed to look like? Is a disciple of Jesus supposed to look like a very nice person? Is that what we have reduced Christians to look like? Oh, you're a good Christian if you're very, very nice. Is that what we're supposed to look like? Are we supposed to be good citizens? A lot of our Christian life is dedicated to the elimination of pain and suffering and sin, instead of releasing the life and the power that God has for you. John the Baptist would be classified as a madman, insane. Jesus is not here to make you nice. Jesus is called you to advance the kingdom of God. And what does that look like? There are many times that maybe the Lord has spoken to you about different things and you thought you were going crazy, thought you were going out of your mind. But in some senses that maybe we're barbarians. Erwin McManus in his one of his books talks about how God has called us to be barbarians because barbarians see life a little bit different. Jesus saw life a little bit different, that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. It's violently advancing, that we are in a spiritual battle. And as we come up to retreat this weekend, we are in a spiritual battle. There are two forces that are trying to grab your soul. There are two forces at opposition with one another, where the kingdom of God needs to be advanced, where this world is veiled with darkness, and it needs to be advanced. We can't limit our eyesight with what our eyes can see, but we've got to know better than that. We got to know through faith that there's an unseen battle, and we're called to be warriors of life. And when God originated his church, when he designed his plan for the church, he designed his church to be an unstoppable force where the gates of Hades couldn't prevail against it. But what I find in church is that the problems of the world is not stopping the church. It's the problems inside the church stopping the church. A lot of times within the church, there's a lot of friction between one another. There's a lot of conflict, and there's a lot of different things that lead to disunity. But we serve a God that's able to take the friction and take where two people come together and there's friction, where two materials come together and there's friction. God is able to take those two things, and instead of creating friction, he's able to make traction. Traction, where a tire creates friction on the road and traction makes it go forward. He's able to take those two things and he's able to create unity in the body of Christ and create traction if we would only go forward. If you study some of the animals and sort of the names of groupings of animals, like for example, bees, a group of bees are called a swarm. And a group of cattle is called a herd. A group of lions is called a pride of lions. In fact, as I searched a little bit more, a group of buzzards, you know, which are flying, they're called a committee of buzzards as they go. And flamingos, I thought, was one of the most unique. It's a group of flamingos, is a flamboyance of flamingos. But my favorite is what I found was rhinoceroses, rhinos. These days, we bought our son these National Geographic books of all these different animals, lions, tigers, and things. But I think the favorite is a group of rhinos. And rhinos, they run actually quite fast. They run 30 miles an hour, which is quite fast because most of the taxi cabs in Hong Kong don't even drive that fast. But rhinos, they run about 30 miles an hour, and they weigh tons, and they have this huge horn in front. But the interesting thing about them is that they can only see 30 feet in front of them. They can only see just a little bit in front of them, 30 feet, and that's not very far, right? And so they run fast, but they can't see very far ahead. And, you know, we have a swarm of bees, a herd of cattle, flamboyance of flamingos. But do you know what a group of rhinos is called? They're called a crash. A crash of rhinos. A group of rhinos is called a crash of rhinos. And for me, this gives a powerful illustration of what maybe God is calling the church to be. God has not called us to a life of happiness, God has called us to a life of advancing the kingdom because he's advanced life in our lives. He's given us life. He's called us to give life to others. And sometimes that means giving us a life of difficulty and suffering. God has given us peace. And peace is not an absence of your circumstances. Peace is knowing that God is in control in the midst of your circumstances. That's what peace is. And here John the Baptist is in prison, about to be killed, and God is not going to take that circumstance away. But God is pleased with John because he's forcefully advanced the kingdom. And this example of a crash of rhinoceroses, and they run, and they run, they can only see 30 feet in advance. And as they run, as they run, as they run, you know, I want us to move together as a church like a crash of rhinoceroses, because, you know, it doesn't matter what's 31 feet in front of them, even though the rhinos can't see them. Many of us, we can't see the future. We can only see 30 feet in front of us, and we don't know what the 31 feet in front of us looks like. But I'm here to say it doesn't really matter what 31 feet in front of us is, even though we can't see it. Just as long as the church, as we're running together as a crash of rhinos, it doesn't matter what it is. All I know is that whatever is 31 feet in front of the rhino, it better get out of the way. That's all I know. As the church comes together in unity with as a crash of rhinoceroses. And this is, for me, a great illustration of what it means that the kingdom of God is advanced by force, and violent men take it by force. If we could, as believers, take the kingdom of God like a crash of rhinoceroses, yeah, we can't see that far in advance, but you know, it doesn't matter because we're coming. And whatever's in front of us better get out of the way. Satan, you better get out of the way. Pain and suffering, you better get out of the way. Obstacles in my life, you better get out of the way. Difficulties, you better get out of the way because we're coming for you. And as we're coming up to retreat, many of us in faith are praying that this is going to be a very historical time together where God is going to take this group, 290-some people, as a crash of rhinoceroses, going to take out the kingdom of darkness and advancing the kingdom forcefully. Let's pray for that this morning. Let's pray for that. Let's bow our heads. God has created you to do something incredible. It is undeniable of his presence throughout creation, throughout history. He's the creator of the universe. He's created you to do something incredible because it's going to be me and you and all of us together. Many of you are going through suffering. Maybe not to the point of John the Baptist as he's in prison knowing that his head is going to come off. But it's going to be me and you together as a church, coming together to pray, coming together to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. May the Lord speak to you that you don't have to look elsewhere. In the midst of your suffering, you don't have to look. Jesus, are you really the Savior? Or should I look for someone else? Remember, God heals the blind, heals the lame, heals the leper, raises the dead, preaches the good news to the poor, and he still says, look, blessed are you who doesn't fall away on account of me. God's called you to be a follower of Christ, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult, and you will be suffering. But blessed is he who does not fall away on account of me. May the Lord bless you in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering. He's the God of peace because he's in control. You can trust and know that, look, there's chaos all around me, but God is in control of the storm. Let's worship together.
For I know you said does not run dry. Hungry, hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I
Before we go into our usual topics of intercession, let's lift up a prayer for Pastor Sam, who's not feeling good for the past, actually, 3 days or so. And let's ask the Lord to heal and protect. And he's got like a sore throat and cough and things, and feeling very weak. And so let's pray for our senior leader, and that the Lord would protect him and not let the enemy try to take him out. And so let's pray for him right now. Let's lift up those who are sick, especially from cancer. Let's continue to pray for them every single day, and let's ask the Lord to heal them. And so let's lift them up now. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are ill, but also not believers. And let's ask the Lord to use this this illness and the healing of it for salvation. And so let's lift them up in prayer now. Begin to pray for those looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord to open doors, and let's ask God to really show them the way. So let's pray for them. Pray for our mission focus this morning, and we're going to pray for our local ministries, for our local churches. We pray for our YWAM ministries that we support and all the ministries there. So let's lift them up and ask God to use them to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. Let them be an organization of light in the midst of Hong Kong. So let's lift them up right now. Pray for our SP ministries, for the worship AV team, especially during the retreat, as we have to take all of our equipment and set it up. And let's ask the Lord to truly protect the equipment from any failures. And let's pray for our welcoming hospitality and barista. Let's ask the Lord to provide volunteers for these ministries. So let's lift them up in prayer right now.
Lord, we just pray for our worship team and our AV team, God.
let's lift up the retreat and let's just pray for those who ask for protection against people getting ill or sick or maybe different job things coming up or visa issues and some are still waiting for those kinds of things. And so let's just begin to lift up the retreat. Let's ask God to really pour forth His Spirit. Let's ask God for revival. Let's ask God for just an incredible time of ministry. And let's ask the Lord to truly speak to us as we honor and bless Him. Let's lift up the retreat right now. Father, we just pray that You protect those who are ill. Father, don't let the enemy, God, strike illness or circumstances, God, that prevent people from coming. Lord, we just know that this is a divine appointment, Lord, that You, before the heavens started, that You've written down in history. Lord, we just ask, Father, for Your anointing, God. We pray for tonight, Lord Jesus. We just pray that this place will be packed with Your presence, Lord. And we just pray that You would just, that You, as Your people come, Lord, that they would experience You in a powerful way. God, that we would lay ourselves. Let me just close this with prayer. We'll continue to pray for retreat and other personal things afterwards. Father, we want You, Jesus. We don't want a good message. We don't want good music. We want Your presence. We want You, Father God. Lord, we want a demonstration of Your power, God, not just eloquent words. And Father, we just pray that as You bring Your people this weekend into Your throne room, Father, we just pray that we would see the beauty of Your presence, beauty of Your of the Heavenly Father, God. Lord, we just pray, Father, we want You today, want You in our lives, Father. God, we just pray that You would honor the faithful, God, who are willing to sacrifice their lives, sacrifice their time to advance the kingdom of God, wherever they are, Father. So, Lord, we just pray that You'd impart a spirit of intercession in this place, a spirit of prayer in this place, a spirit of Your power in this place, God. This is what we ask for. God, we thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.